Mem Tesmad Aleph in Psachim, second Mishnah. Person's on his way to do the mitzvah of Shechitas HaPesach. He's getting his Karban Pesach ready. Or the person is on his way to do a bris for his son. Or another mitzvah, which is not as familiar, is to eat Sudas Erisin, the engagement Suda, in the house of his father. The Gemara will elaborate a little bit more on that. On his way to do any of these mitzvahs, he realizes on his way, he's already on the journey, and he realizes that, oyvei, he left chametz in his house. The Mishnah says the din is that if he's able to, if there's enough time, Rashi's gonna say, to go back to his house and to be mevoyer, destroy that chametz, v'lachzor the mitzvah, and then to go back to doing the mitzvah, yachzor v'yevoyer, then he should take care of, do bir chametz, and then go back to his mitzvah. V'imlav, but if there's not enough time, v'avloy b'liboy, then he's able to just do bito b'lev and not go back. Let's see Rashi, keep your hand on the Mishnah, and we'll just skip over Rashi and the Gemara. So Rashi says, "Ha'olich ba'arba osra." Talking about Erev Yom Tov on the 14th of Nisan. Yochel sheyesh hus bayoyim. What does it mean? Yochel? He's able-bodied. No, the pshat is that it means there's enough time for him to go and to come back. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Keep Rashi over there. V'hatzil me'anochim. The Mishnah continues with a second series of halachas. So let's say he's on his way to save a yid from goyim who are chasing him. U'minanor. Or from, let's say, an overflowing river. Umanalistim, and from robbers. Umanad leko, or from a fire. Umanamapoiles, or from toppling structures. All these chasveshon, yivata beliboy, in these cases, since the person who has the chametz in his possession is now tasked with doing hatzalas nefashos, so the Mishnah says the halacha is just yivata beliboy. He shouldn't even entertain the concept of going back. Rather, he should do bitul b'lev right away. Rashi explains, "Mahatzel man anochrim es yisro es yisro anedofin." You're talking about yidden that are being chased. So the Mishnah said, "Yivat b'lev." Rashi explains, "V'lo yachzor." He should not go back. V'afil yeshus. Even if he has enough time, he is meshayer. He measures how much time he has, and he could figure out the lamaisa. He could still fulfill the atzos nefashos. It's some sort of case where he knows he could take care of the atzos nefashos, and he can also take care of bir chametz. No. He should still just do bitul b'lev because of the circumstances. Rashi explains very importantly, the mederaisa sogilev bitul ba'amo, like we saw earlier in the Masechta, that mederaisa, all you have to do is bitul. Whether you have the two exclamations, Rashi and Tosfos, whether you're mekayim a mitzvah of tashbisu, or you're just, it makes it a hechatim so that you don't have chametz anymore to be over by Rabbi Matze. But either way, by doing bitul, being mevatel your chametz, that's enough, mederaisa. You don't have to do a bedika. However, we explained earlier that you do have to do a bedika only with the rabbanon. Well, the rabbanon in this case, because it's atzos nefashos, relaxed their requirement. Zok the Mishnah weiter, lishbay shvisas reshus. Another case would be the person's going to establish residence in a reshus way, in a voluntary way. Yachzor miyad. We'll see Rashi and Tais explain about this. Yachzor miyad. The Mishnah says you have to go back right away. This is not a mitzvah. This is a reshus. And since it's not a mitzvah, so it's not similar to the first series of cases that we brought, which were mitzvahs, that you only go back if you have enough time to do the mitzvah. So here, what do we care if you miss that on your reshus? You have to go back and take care of the Rabbanan's requirement to do biur chometz. Rashi explains, Lishpoy shvisas reshus shoyo hoylech lahachshich alatchum liknoy shvisashom. Person's on his way, the machshich alatchum. He wants to get to the edge of the tchum, liknei shvisa son, in order to acquire for himself a residence there. Why would he do that? Kedei sheyeloi mishom lahalon alpayim, so that he should have 2,000 amas to walk from there. Leleich to walk lamachar sham ledvar reshus, to go from there tomorrow on Shabbos ledvar harashus for something that's voluntary. Then we said yachzor miyad. What does Rashi mean? Rashi is saying that the halacha is when it comes to erevei tchumin, that you're only allowed to go 2,000 amas on Shabbos. However, before Shabbos, you were koine a mokim shvisa at some place, let's say it was outside the city, let's say it was 2,000 amas outside the city. Now, what happens is, because you were kind of, you were machshich there, you were weighing there, and at the time that that Shabbos started, you were there, so now you were kind of a shvisa, you're kind of, it's as if you live there. And since it's your place of residence, so now you can walk 2,000 amas beyond that. So now you can walk 2,000 amas to your original house, and 2,000 amas beyond this temporary residence. Now even though, and the halacha would be that if you didn't make this, you weren't kind of makam shvisa, you would only be allowed to go up to 2,000 amas outside the city limits. So here, Rashi explains that the person did this for the sake of advar reshus. We'll see what Tosfos has to ask about this. But the ma'isa, since it was only reshus, so sorry, you have to go back and do bir chametz. Avaliknoi shvisas mitzvah. But if the case, Rashi says, would be, I want to do this because I want to establish residence there in order to fulfill a mitzvah. He's doing this so that tomorrow he can go outside of his original tchum to go to do michma velim or to some sort of a proper celebration of Beis HaMishten. Rashi says this is equatable with the original cases of our Mishnah, which were mitzvahs. So if he's going to be kind of makam shvisa for a mitzvah, then there's nothing to talk about. Then he is allowed to do that because he's being mekayim a mitzvah, and it's just like the first case in the Mishnah that we said that if he's able to mekayim shneim, he should go ahead and do so. Let's just stop for a second. Just look at Tosfos. Tosfos's question on Rashi is that in Eruvin we saw that there is a shita that holds ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah. I think that's possibly the way we paskin. Ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah. The only reason you're allowed to make a eruvin tchum is only to mekayim a mitzvah. So Rashi was giving you a case where you're doing it for reshus, but you're not even allowed to do that. So therefore, Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's explanation. So Tosfos comes up with a different explanation on the last white line of Tosfos, the fourth line on the page. And he says, this is how you explain it according to the Reb. What does that mean? Stop. Person's going to have a good time in his friend's house or his relative's house on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. So then, the halacha is that he has to go back. But there's no Eruv here. Chassam Sefer explains the Tosfos. We're not talking about Eruv. And therefore, it's only that it's a Reshus. Because Eruv would have been a Dvar Mitzvah, would have been in the first category of the cases of the Mishnah. And so therefore, we must be talking about a real Reshus, where the person was just on going to his friend's house. And therefore, since that's a Reshus, there's no question about it. He has to go back. And he cannot rely on Bittul Belief. Back to the Mishnah. Now, let's say the person is leaving Yerushalayim. We're saying another halacha, and similarly another halacha, but similar in some respect to the case of the Bir Chometz that we're just discussing. Mishiyotzim Yerushalayim, he leaves Yerushalayim, and Nitzkash Yesh Biyado, and he remembers that he has in his hands Basar Kodesh. He has Basar Kodesh. Im Ovat Seifim Seifim Bim Kemoi. If you have already passed a place called Seifim, so then we'll see. Rashi says that Rabbanu would not matriach you to go back to burn the Basar Kodesh that became possible by leaving Yerushalayim's limits. That we won't be mechayiv you to go back, and therefore you're Seifim Kemay, wherever you are, that's where you burn the Basar Kodesh. In Lav, however, if you haven't gone so far, you're still by Seifim or earlier, then the Rabbanu would matriach you. You chayzer v'serfei lefnei habiro, then you have to go back and burn it lefnei habiro in front of chayzer the Beis Hamidrash. We'll see what Tosfos has to say what biro is referring to. Me'atzei ha'marocha, using the wood from the marocha, the setup, the wood that was cut and chopped for this purpose. V'ad kamohin chayzer. Now, how much you have in your hand? A certain amount of chametz. You have in your hand a certain amount of basar kodesh. How much is significant enough to require you to go back? So you have a three machlokes. Both, and that's really the bechein that we said earlier, both chametz and basar kodesh, the din would be, as soon as you have a kebeyo worth, then you're chayiv to go back if the other conditions have called for that. And Rabbi Huda Omer, is much more machmir. And he says, even if you only have a kazayis in your possession, you go back for both of them. But both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda agree that the halacha is the same for chametz as it is for Basar Kodesh. However, the third shita here, v'chacham ma'imrim, they split it. Basar Kodesh v'kezayis, v'chometz v'kebeyo. The Basar Kodesh, the halacha would be by kezayis, they're machmir by Basar Kodesh, but by chometz, it's kebeyo. Now, even though, let's say what, outside what Tosa says, the second to last Tosa on the page, Rivo says that the reason why there is a difference, he explains from Yerushalmi, is because Basar Kodesh has absolutely no takana. You have to burn it, but there's no takana. I can't fix what you did. So therefore, right, you can't be mevatel. So therefore, they're machmir b'kezayis. But since kebeyo, chametz has a takana that you could be mevatel it, so then they weren't so machmir with chametz because you have another takana. So therefore, they said they'll give you up to kebeyo. They'll give you more flexibility with chametz. That's why there's a split in the chachamim shita. Let's go back to Rashi now. We're up to Rashi. Sheyesh basar kodesh, yesh biyadei basar kodesh. Imoy baderech, he has it with him. A little different than the earlier case, he left it in his house. Here he has it with him. Venif sabiyotin, since he has it with him, when he left Yerushalayim, it became possible because it left Yerushalayim. Shemachitas kachim kalim, chaymas Yerushalayim. The limit for kachim kalim is the walls of Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah said that imam ratzoifim. Rashi says this is shen kfar. The name of a village. From this village, you're able to see the Beis Hamikdash. If you've already passed this point, then Seraphim Koimei v'lo yishrichu lachzer and Chachamim are not matriach you to go back. However, Vim Lav, if you haven't gone so far and you can still see the Beis Hamikdash, Chorizer v'Seraphim, then you have to go back and burn Kedamar b'chol shah, like we said earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak. The drasha is ba'kodesh bo'esh tisorif. It's part of the pasuk. Paraphrasing of the pasuk, ba'kodesh bo'esh tisorif. In the kodesh, that's where you burn it with fire. The makom achilasa yisrei pasuk. The pasuk was teaching us that in the place where you eat it, that's where you're supposed to burn it. So Rashi makes it sound like this is a din de raisa. That if you, it was nifsal b'yotze, that there's a din sreifa mide raisa. Tosfos takes issue with that. And Tosfos in the third Tosfos, the third Tosfos on the page, Tosfos comes out and says that it really is a gzeira. That really, what we learned earlier from this pasuk b'kodesh b'yesh tisarif is that kodshim, kodshe kodshim, and shari murin, emurim kodshim kalim, those, the kodshe kodshim and the fats of kodshim kalim, those have to be burnt. That's what the pasuk was referring to. But kodshim kalim stam, that zorim could eat, was not learned from this pasuk. And the hacham that required you to burn it was really only, right, that they required you to go back and burn it. That's a gzeira for kachi kachi. But the halacha for kachi kalim is only within the rabbanon. Not like Rashi was saying, at least not like Rashi was implying, with the kodesh ba'esh tisarif. Tosfos also points out, before we continue in Rashi, let's just talk about Tosfos, two things that Tosfos says. First of all, Tsefim, Rashi said that Tsefim was the same name of a village, one specific village. Maybe like what we have, we're talking about, we have Har Tsefim, but Tosfos says no, it should have then continued and talked about, okay, and just like as far as Tsefim is, so too in all directions from Yerushalayim, and Tosfos therefore says that Gufa, the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, it's Gufa Mashma, that Tsefim means any place where you could see Yerushalayim from there, but not one specific village. Also Tosfos, in the fourth Tosfos, Tosfos mentions that Biro, there's a machloikis in Zvachim between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that Rabbi Yochanan held Biro is a place in Har Bayis that was called Biro. And Reish Lakish says, no, the whole Har Bayis was called Yerushalayim. It was called Biro. And he brings a pasuk to support his view. Back to Rashi. Rashi says, Zeveze chometz. We said in the Shita of Reb Meir, this chometz that we mentioned earlier, the Amor Le'el, V'nizkar sheyesh lo chametz beisai, we said he remembers that he has chametz at home, and ubasa kedesh she'ima, and the basa kedesh that he has with him. So according to Rameir b'chebeyo, you only have to go back if you have a kebeyo. Pachos, if you have less than that, gabi chametz yivata b'liboy. Chametz, what you should do is be mevato. That's a real takono. The guy basa kedesh, sorry from kamei, and basa kedesh, that's possible. You should burn it now, even though you're past the point where you should have taken it out. So now, burn it. That's the only way to deal with it. And then we had the other two shitas. Rabbi Yehuda agreed that chametz and basar kedush are equatable, but he was more machmir, and he said that you even have to do it if you have a kezayis at home or kezayis with you. Kezayis of chametz at home or kezayis of basar kedush with you. And the chum split the shittas like we saw Tosfos explain. Now let's start the Gemara.
Ule minu.
We have a steer to ask on our Mishnah. It says in a braisa, hoylech lecho sudas eris in veis chamiv, if a person's on his way to go eat sudas eris in the house of his father, father-in-law, and puts together with that case, the case of a person who wants to establish a residency of Rishus, the braisa says in both of these cases, he should go back. Our Mishnah was mashma, listed it as part of the series of mitzvahs that only you go back if you have enough time. And this braisa listed together with the lishbash misas rishus, which says you should go back, that you have no, that you don't have a right to be mevato believe. You have to go back and do a proper beer. So therefore we have a stira. What is this sudas eris in veis chamiv? Is it a rishus like the braisa's mashma, or is it a mitzvah like the Mishnah's mashma? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answers like Kasho, or Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi. The way to answer this this what seems to be a stira is very simply, we have two different tannaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Let's see which one is which. The Sanya, the Braisa says, Sudas Erisin Rishus, to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Sudas Erisin, making a Suda by an engagement, is only Rishus. So clearly, the Tana of our Braisa must be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Rabbi Yosi says, Mitzvah. No. The sudas erisin, the suda you make at the time of the erisin, is a mitzvah. That could be the reason why the taka is a minug. For some people, as a sro especially, to make a sudas erisin taka. So Rabbi Yosi holds that it's a mitzvah. Therefore, Rabbi Yosi must be the tana in our Mishnah that listed sudas erisin as one of the mitzvahs that only if you have enough time to be mekayim both would you go back to do bir chametz. Now, the Gemara says, the MS is, the Gemara is going to say now, I don't have to make it that there's two different tanoim. I can even establish the Mishnah and the Braisa as one Tana. How do I do that? Because Rav Chista said that there really were two Su'udas. There was a Su'uda at the time of Erisin, and we'll see in Rashi that there was a Su'uda that was a little bit later on, that the chosim would come and give gifts, and at the time that he would give gifts, he would make another suda. We called it the suda shniyah. So now Rav Chista said that this whole machloek is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi that exists, whether sudas erisin is a mitzvah or rishus, Rabbi Yosi saying it's a mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda saying it's a rishus, was only negeya to the suda shniyah. Suda rishayno, even Rabbi Yehuda we mask him as a mitzvah. So therefore it wouldn't make sense to say that, right? That is a machloikis with regard to that, right? With regard to the Suda Rishayna, everyone holds. So therefore, Afilu Tema Havahara Yehuda, therefore it's possible to say that our Mishnah is even going like Rehuda, who earlier said that Sudas Erisin is a Rishus. No. But now I'll say that the Suda Rishayna is, everyone says, a mitzvah, even a Rehuda. If it's taka the case, it was shot in the Braisa, like Kasha, the Braisa that was mashma, that it's a Rishus, is not a stira. Haba Suda Rishayna, Haba Suda Shniya. Our Mishnah was talking about Suda Rishayna, which all Tanoim, according to Rav Chista, held is a mitzvah. That's how it's listed as one of the mitzvahs. And this braisa was talking about the suda shniyo, which according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda held that by the suda shniyo, it's only a rishus, and that's why he listed it here. But our Mishnah could also be going like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a prat.
She's not yet married. They're not yet married.
Sudas erisin. This is like the minhag was that a year in advance they would get engaged and they would wait a year. Similar to what Hasidim do today.
It says, right? A year? Specifically,
I think it was a year. We talk about in Yehuda, about Yehuda, the Mishnah over there says in Yehuda that they would, the Mishnah in Kedushin, I think. They would wait a year. So now the Mora brings a Braisa now, second to last narrow line. The Mora says, Tanyo Omar Abihudo. The Braisa says that Yehuda himself was talking now, and he says, "Ani lo shamati la sudas erisin. I only know about the sudas erisin, which we just said was the first suda, but not the suda shniyo, which is the one where gifts are given. Sivloinus meaning gifts. Rashi will explain.
So this doesn't conform with the second version.
This conforms with Rav Chista. This is good, like Rav Chista. That Rav Chista said that Rabbi Yehuda held that the first one is a mitzvah, but the second one's not, that's beautiful. That's mamash beautiful. So that's Erisin, yes, that's the first Suda, and Suda Shnia, no. In fact, Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the page, says, I don't understand why the Gemara didn't use it as Tanya Nami Hochi, like Rav Chisda, to support Rav Chisda. It's beautiful. You have Rabbi Yehuda himself speaking and saying that he holds of Suda Rishayna as a mitzvah and not Suda Shnia. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda who speaks back to him on the first wide line, I'm with Rabbi Yehuda and Isha Mati, so that's Erisin, Visiv Loi Nice. I heard that both of them are a mitzvah. The first Suda and the second Suda, which is Sivloi Nice, where the gifts are given. And therefore, it comes out that this is mamash, what Rav Chisda said, is the explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda. It's not in the concept alone of Suda Rishayin, not only by the concept of Suda Shnio, this secondary Suda. Zot Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, Suda Shnio, Kachu Derech HaChasanim, La'achas Sudas Erisin, Choyzer U'meshagis Avloinais. After the Suda Erisin, mamash, you know, they're going all wild. First they have a Suda Erisin, one party. Then he starts to send gifts to her, to his fiance, Vesoyichum, and then, because he gave gifts, so now he has to make a party, another party, so there's two parties. And what did he say? Rabbi Yehuda said, Ani lo shamati, I didn't hear, I only heard about the Suda Rishon, Suda Erisin, but not Sivlenis. Rashi says, Ani lo shamati, shetei mitzvah elos Suda Erisin Nevado. The Bryce is not explicit, Rashi is explaining. That's mamash what we were just saying, talking about mitzvah. That he says, I only heard about the Suda Rishon, the Suda Erisin is a mitzvah, but Suda Sivlenis, but not the Suda by the giving of gifts. What's Sivlenis? Rashi says, Deroinis, it's gifts. What type of gifts? Kalim Noim. Nice furniture, nice Caleb. He gave her a mixer, he gave her a dining room set, he gave her. Yeah. Zok de Gemara, now we're gonna start a sugyo of, basically, about an omud full with agarato. Then you have a break for a few lines and then it picks it back up. But the Maisa, Rabbi Weinstein said on Sunday that from Agadato, he said that Agadato, the Pshat is that it's more hidden. The Tiefkeit of Agadato is more hidden in the words than the sugis that we learn. The sugis that we learn, you know, we learn it, but we have to break our teeth over it just to get Pasha Pshat. The Agadato seems to flow easy. But what's funny is that we might get, after working hard on the regular sugis, the halacha sugis, we'll get it. But the agadata sugis, we might not get it so fast. Maybe that was the way it was designed. He said that there's so many hidden messages and teeth that a person could take away from the agadata musra. Hopefully we'll share one of the ones that he said. Tanyo, Reb Shimon Omer. Reb Shimon said in the Braisa, Omer, kol su'udo she'ena shel mitzvah, ein tam chokhom rashay le'inois meno. If you have a sudo, that's not a mitzvah, so tam chokhom is not allowed to partake in such a sudo. And I believe that there's a Gemara, I think it's in Avodah Zarah, probably in multiple places, I think it talks about Rav, that Rav never benefited from a Suda that was not a Suda Mitzvah. And I thought of it, and I said to myself, well, that was pretty good. He had some Amish, you know, he probably fasted a lot, and then only when he was a Chasen or whatever it was. The Maisa, we have Halacha by Chanukah, that by Chanukah we don't have, you know, the same way we celebrate on Purim. Purim, we have big Suda. Hanukkah, there is no official Suda, but there's still a minig to do Sudas. And over there, Mishnah Berurah points out that if a person says Shiras v'Shvachos and Divrei Torah by the Suda, it makes it into a Suda's Mitzvah. So Vetzem, it's not so difficult to get yourself a Suda's Mitzvah. Vetzem, we have Halacha anyways in Brachas that three people that sit down and eat, they shouldn't eat from without saying the Beter, because they're like, So I think it's not so difficult to get yourself a Suda's Mitzvah. But over here, we're saying that if it's not Shal Mitzvah, it's not the Pshat that he should be looking for loopholes. The Pshat is he should be careful that he shouldn't go around eating everywhere. That's the Pshat. Going my, what's an example of a Suda She'ena Shel Mitzvah? Now this was the shocker. Om Rabbi Yechonam, you go in Bas Koyin Yisrael. If you have a Bas Koyin who marries Yisrael, that would be one example of a Suda She'ena Shel Mitzvah, or a Bas Tam Chocham Amoretz. Or a Bas Tam Chocham that marries an Amoretz. Let's stop for a second and see Rashi. Rashi says Bas Koyin. Rashi explains that Tzricholei Nosed Ke'anim, a Bas Koyin should be looking to marry a Koyin. V'loi Livkoyim Mishpachtolei Nosed Yisrael. She shouldn't bring down, degenerate her Yichus by marrying Yisrael. Now the Maiso, we don't see this being as such a Hakvado, but But you see from the time of the Gemara that there was such Akbada. Maybe then the Kehanim were more Miyuchasim, maybe that's why they were more Makbid, and maybe there is such a concept. I'm not a Kohen, so I'm not familiar, but maybe there is such a concept that Mishpachas of Kehanim do take a look first to stay within the tribe. I mean, it used to be that way by all Klal Yisrael because of the Nakhlo. But it could be that it's still that way, I'm not sure.
But they live communally. They live together.
Like Noiv Ir Kehanim. It's all Kehanim. They had an interesting time by Kriyas HaTorah. The Halacha Svarim go through. What do you have if you have a city full of 10 Kehanim? So who do you call up? How do you do it? Right? It's not so simple.
What is this?
The Halacha of what do you do if you have all Kehanim in the shul? Who do you call up first, second, last? What do you do? So there is an order. It goes to Talmud Chacham first, and you go. The problem is if you have a bunch of Kehanim and you have Yisro for Levi Mikson, then you have a real problem. Because then you have to, you can't, then by calling the Kehanim up one after the other, then Taka shows a problem. So if it's all Kehanim, it's not as bad. But if it's not all Kehanim, then you run into trouble where, who do I call? Because I can't call after the Yisro. Call a Kohen after the Yisro.
He has to go last.
He has to go last, Lechaira. Okay. And the reason why we don't call a Kohen Yisro, because it looks like the second Kohen, it looks like the first Kohen wasn't good enough, so you're calling up a second Kohen. Oh. Or same thing with Levim. You won't call up a Levi. That's why we call a Kohen, the Kohen is no Levi. So you call up Kohen twice. Why do you call up Kohen twice? There's plenty of Levim.
To whom doesn't it look good?
Plenty of Yisro. Call the first one. Because the second one went up.
Whom? For the people in this marriage?
Yeah, I guess so.
They don't know there's a break there.
One could look around and say, oh, that first Kohen, look, they call up another Kohen. Maybe that first Kohen is not so good. We're so careful with each other's yichus that's why. Okay, so now, so that's what Rashi said, that's why a Bas Kohen is not supposed to marry Yisrael. That's called a Suda Shevish Mitzvah. It's a beautiful chasana. But a Suda Shevish Mitzvah, we'll see there's an exception to this. Oh, but a Bas Tam Chochem, marrying an Amoritz. Oh, yo, yo, and that's what we'll find with the story of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva's father-in-law, Ben Kalva Savua, was not happy that his daughter, Rachel, married Akiva. Akiva the Amoritz. He was not happy, and you see, he has a precedent. It wasn't Stam that he hated. He had a good reason why not. It was Bas Tam Chochem Amoritz. I guess he was a Tam Chochem, not sure. Why, how do we know, Rabbi Yechon says, how do we know that this is Suda Shenish Mitzvah? Because Rabbi Yechon said, Bas Kohen Yisrael Ein Zugon Zavogon Oilo Yofon, that if you have a Bas Kohen who marries Yisrael, their Zivug is not going to go up well. Mahi, Gemara asks, what do you mean that the Zivug is not going to be? Taka say, Zivug Oilo Yofon, what does it mean that it won't?
What is Oilo Yofon?
Oilo Yofon means that it will...
Makim?
Well, that's what Gemara is about to explain. The offer means that it's gonna be established, it's gonna work out well. It's gonna work out well. What does it mean when it's not gonna work out well? Gemara explains, Ma'i, Omar Chisto, Oy Almono, Oy Girusho, Oy Zera Eimo. Either it will turn out that she's gonna be an Almono, he'll die before his time, or Girusha, he'll divorce her, or Zera Eimo, she won't have children. That's what it means when a Bas Koyan marries to Yisrael. Mas nisotono, and Abraisa added, koivra, he'll bury her before her time, oi kovrasoi, or she'll end up burying him before his time, oi mviyosa de anius, or they'll end up living in poverty. Rashi explains at this point, Rashi explains maihi. The Gemara was asking, I'm sorry, one Rashi before that was an interesting Rashi. Ein zavagon oilo yofo, Rashi says, b'mazel toiv. So that means to me that when you wish someone mazel toiv, by a chasen at least, you're wishing him a zivug alo yafazai. It should be a guta mazel, a guta zivug. That's what you're, it's funny because, I mean, if you look at it literally, mazel means a flow. It means coming down from Shemayin, a flow, a good flow you should have. That's what mazel tov really means. It's really a bracha. Mazel tov. Now, zivug alo yafazai, right, or zivug alo yafo is like, it's going up. But I don't think it means it literally. Now, my oila biyodar, Rashi explains, what will happen? What's gonna happen? What's gonna fall in their hands? What's gonna come up? So Gemara said, oya amana grusha yizera einlo. Rashi says, because there's a smach in the Torah. It's not a lochum there, right? There's a smach. Kedichsivu vas koyin ki seal yizor. First, the pasuk says that when the bas koyin marries a zor, v'samach le, and then right next to it, uvas koyin ki seal almano grusha yizera einlo. It talks about a different halacha, but it's talking about eating shumah. So it says that when she marries the Zohar that she doesn't eat shrum anymore because she left her father's house. And it also says that if she becomes an Amana or a Grusha, or she doesn't have children, right? So since the Torah put those two Pesukim together, we learn a Smach, Rabbi Yechon learned a Smach, that this is what's going to happen if a Bas Koyin marries a Yisrael.
But you don't see a similar support for what the Braisa is saying.
What was the Braisa saying?
Anias.
Oh, we're going to see in a second. We're going to address that in a second. Oy Koyvro, Rashi said, or what does it mean he's going to bury her below his man, before her time? Okay, now let's see Rashi. Let's see the Gemara. Gemara asks on this Braisa. The Braisa said that one of the effects of a Bas Koyin marrying Yisrael is that they're going to be anius. In fact, Gemara Einis, it's really true. For Amar Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yechon said in a different place, that if a person wants to get rich, a get rich scheme, you want to know what it is? Find a Koyin, find a Bas Koyin and marry her. Because you're Yidbak, because you're being Dovak Bezari Shal Aaron, that's a skula to getting rich. Right? Because the Torah and the Kahuna will make him rich. Now, the word Shetoyro over here seems out of place. But the way the Mepharshim, the Kol Shekain would, if the Kol Shekain read, Kol Shekain Shekahuna Masrason, I'm sorry, Shekahuna Masrason, right? That would make sense. Why should a person marry a Bas Koyin? Because the Kahuna will make him rich. But it says Kol Shekain Shetoyro Kahuna, which the Mepharshim explain that it means that the Gemara already knew at this point of asking the question what the answer is going to be. That the answer is going to be that we're talking about a Tamach Chacham marrying a Bas Koyin. And a Tamach Chacham with a Bas Koyin, that's a double whammy. You have the Torah, which is Zgul for Ashirus, interesting, no? And you have also the Kahuna, which is a Zgul for Ashirus. They asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky. They said that one of the Zgulos for becoming rich is being a Tzaddik. Chaim Kanievsky is a Tzaddik all the time. So they asked him, how come you're not rich? So he says, rich? He says, I have 50 svarim. You don't call that Ashirus? I wrote 50 svarim. That's not Ashirus. What says Ashirus? Ashirus is maybe in the eyes of the holder. What says Ashirus? Asameach b'chalkei. What is? If you want money, that's all you're looking for, maybe that won't be rich. I don't know. But here, we're talking about there will be some wealth as a result of the Torah and as a result of the Kahuna. So that's the more answer is like, Kashu, Habatam Chacham, Habam Oretz. The answer is like this. That if Am Oretz marries a Zare Shel Aaron, nothing doing, Anius, Mevila de Anius, because even though he's marrying a Kohen, but we'll see like later on, Aaron a Kohen wouldn't approve of this, and therefore there's no bracha coming along. But if it's a Tamil Chacham, like Rashi explains here, Tamil Chacham, Shvachu lo, Rashi says with the Gbach. It's a great Shvach for who? For Aaron a Kohen. Malama Oretz, Ve'in a Kohen, if you have an Ama Oretz. And he's not a Kohen. If he's Amoris and he's a Kohen, okay, but at least he's Zarish. It's a Shvach. It's a Shvach to Aaron to get that into his family.
So he would prefer Tam Chochem over a fellow Kohen?
I don't know. Rashi doesn't make that clear. Rashi says, Shvach Uloi Avalam Ama Oretz Ve'en a Kohen. If he's both an Amoris and he's not a Kohen, so he has nothing to him. He's an Amoris and he's not a Kohen. So Aaron a Kohen doesn't want that in his family. But if he's a Tam Chochem and he's not a Kohen, that's okay. Rashi doesn't address what's better, a Tam Chacham? L'chir a Tam Chacham is better. L'chir a Tam Chacham.
Well, we see the whole time that you should be Mishabah for the Kohen. Anything outside of the Kohen is stepping
right,
down.
Right, but we see that Tam Chacham is such a great Milo. Oh, but that's what this whole Gemara really is being brought here for.
Right.
Tam Chacham. So I think that Aaron HaKohen would prefer a Tam Chacham Zor over over an Am Oretz Kohen, but I'm not sure. I know that we have in Kadimo. Dima in Aliyas, and who do you give Aliyas to, and other places, match of Tam Chacham tremendously. Yeah. So now that's what Rashi says. Shvach hu lo evlam ha'oretz ve'in ha'koyin gnai hu la'aron v'nenshin. It's a gnai for Aaron ha'koyin, and you see it has an effect
on his chesed.
Aaron ha'koyin he's still looking after his children. After the yichus of his children, and therefore people who come into the mishpacha and they're not roi to then mention, they get punished. And that's what we're going to see now. A couple of cases here, the Gemara goes back and forth with positive and negative. Of sometimes the kahuna worked for the better of them, and sometimes the kahuna worked against them. Let's see now. Rabbi Yeshua nosid kanto cholash. Rabbi Yeshua married a bas kohen, a kohenes, and you know what happened? He got sick. He got weak. Omar, so he said about himself, Lo nichole la Aaron. This wasn't good for Aaron. Pasnish for Aaron. The idbak bezari, that I should come attached to his mishpacha, to his children, to see the havilei chasana kiano, that I should be a son-in-law. That there should be a son-in-law like me. Aaron wouldn't have approved. Is that honor? And that's what he was saying, that you see, Tam Chochem, and Mamash has to be a Tam Chochem, Rabbi Shul HaMaisa was a Tam Chochem. That wasn't the reason, but that was the way he touched it up. Rabbi Idibar Ovid, he wasn't a Kohen, but he was a Tam Chochem. He was saying that because I'm not a Kohen and I'm not a Tam Chochem, he was saying about himself, I'm not a Tam Chochem, that's why I got weak. That's what he's saying. Rabbi Idibar Ovid was the next.
I didn't know who he was.
He yelled stark. I wasn't a great enough person to marry into the Shvach. He's showing how stark it was. Then Rav Yidibar Ovam was the second person. Nosu Kanti married Kehenes. Nofku Minei Trei Bnei Smichim. He did well. He had two great Rabbonim children, Smichim. Who were they? Rav Sheshes Brei Rav Idi, Rav Shua Brei Rav Idi. Two sons, Rav Idi, Rav Sheshes, and Rav Yehoshua.
It's not the same Rav Yehoshua here, right?
That's the Rabbi Shua that we had before? No. Rabbi Shua, this is a Rabbi Shua, a grandson of a Kohen. Mm-hmm. And that Rabbi Shua married a Kohen. Mm-hmm. But I had a question, if this was Rav Shisha's Brei Rav Idi over here, is that the same as Rav Shisha Brei Rav Idi? If you notice, it's Rav Shisha Brei Rav Idi. I also thought so. And I look closely, over here it's called Rav Shisha Brei Rav Idi, and over there it's Rav Shisha's Brei Rav Idi. Maybe it's Aramaic, maybe it's the same, it would be strange, you have two people, the son of Rav Idi, but Maisa, it doesn't...
But it wasn't more than one Rav Idi.
Yeah, could be. Omar Apopo. Apopo says, Ilan Asivno Kahanto Lo Yisori. If I would not have married a Kohenes, I would not be rich. He knew, Klor, I would not have become rich without marrying the Kohen. So he was saying, it was Kohen by me, that Haroitze Sheis Asha Yidbak Vazare Shalaren, it happened by me only because I married Kohen. Each one knew, they made Cheshbon HaNefesh enough to know, you know, what are the reasons for their benefits, what are the reasons for their, the way things turned out. Omar Rav Kahano, who was not a Kohen, Tosis on Omar Beis tells us that Rav Kahano, even though that was his name, he was not a Kohen, that was his name. Eloinu Sivna Kahanto, if I had not married a Kohenes, which is Mamash Mashma, that he was himself was not a Kohen, Loi Galoi, he's saying, like, similar to what Rav Yeshua said, a negative effect happened to him. Had he not married this Kohen, he would not have been exiled from where he lived in Bavel. He's saying that because he married a Kohen, he was punished because he wasn't Roy. Omrulei, they said to him, Ha'olamakim Teragalisa, what's so bad? You went to, so they asked him, Ha'olamakim Teragalisa, what do you mean? You were exiled to Eretz Yisrael, you went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, big step up. So he says, Loi galoi kidigali inchi. I was not exiled the way that most people are exiled. Most people, they go on their own, like Rashi explained. But I was forced by, even though I went to Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't a nice experience. And the reason why that experience happened was because I married a Kohenes, and I wasn't Roy to marry a Kohenes. That's what Rav Popo said. That's what Rav Kahano said.
So somebody who marries a Bas Kohen,
you gotta know what he's doing.
He's been
you gotta know what he's doing. He's marrying to Aaron Akain. So again, I think it means more when the Kohanim are Mechosim. I think so. I'm not so oisik in Shaduchim to know. That here, I know that Kohanim are careful not to marry Grusha and so on, but this vice, I don't know. Rashi says, Loi galoi, Rav Kahana golom Bavel Eretz Yisrael. He was exiled from Bavel Eretz Yisrael, like we say in Bavel Kama. Loi galoi kidigoli, and she shar talmidim. Other Talmidim, they go out on their own. They leave. They want to go to a place, a better place. Fine. It's better. I was forced to go out. Machmas Mardin from the, they're hitting me. Vemas Malchus are just being afraid of the government. I was forced to leave. And therefore, like the Rambam was forced to leave. The Rambam was forced to hide for many years, to hide from the Muslims.
The Rambam
had to leave Spain. He had to leave Spain. Right, that's how he ended up in Egypt. Omar Yitzchok, Kol Anene Misudas Rishus L'Soyv Goyla. If a person is, and this is, it doesn't say over here Talmidei Chacham, it says anyone. Anyone who's Nene from Misudas Rishus, the Chayra is talking about Talmidei Chacham, but it seems that it also opens it up to everyone. Kol Hanene, anyone who's Nene from Misudas Rishus, L'Soyv Goyla, Shenemar, V'oichlim Korim Mitzoyin, that they eat fattened from the tzoyin, fattened sheep. Golem and calves that they take from the place where they congregate, from the stalls. We'll see, then, a few seconds later it says, and therefore, now, you're going to be exiled at the head of all the exilees. What it's trying to say is that the person derives too much pleasures from this, from Golus, from now, oh, I'm sorry, from this world, the end they're going to be exiled. That's l'chayra the punishment. It's like a midah k'neged midah. If you take it too early, you end up losing. Take it too early. Take it slow, and then you won't have to be goyel l'reish k'neged.